It's KUOW. I'm Bill Radke. Have you always known what it means to be a feminist?
When I was younger, mostly in my teens and 20s, I had strange ideas about feminists as hairy, angry, man-hating, sex-hating women, as if those are bad things.
That's writer Roxane Gay, and that idea about how women judge other women shows up in a lot of her writing. And Roxane Gay writes a lot. 2 months into 2017, she's had an essay published in a book about Michelle Obama, and she's written her own book, the short story collection Difficult Women. Her memoir, Hunger, comes out later this year. KUOW's Jeannie Yandel asked Roxane Gay why she keeps examining the ways women look at and evaluate each other.
You know, I think a lot of my intellectual project in both my fiction and my nonfiction is concerned with the lives of women and the ways in which women interact in both the good and the not so good ways. And so that's certainly something that you see coming up again and again in a lot of my fiction are just the ways in which, you know, women live together in this world, either as friends, siblings, lovers. It's just there's a lot.
The first story in your book, Difficult Women, the two sisters, they were so close, and it seemed to set up something that happened in a lot of the short stories that you wrote. There were sisters who were very close. In one story, there were two men, twins, who appeared to be very close. They were interchangeable, kind of, sort of, but not really. Mm-hmm. Why did you decide you wanted to look at that kind of closeness?
I'm always interested in the bonds that people share, and indelible bonds in particular. And so siblings, you can love or hate your siblings, but you are always going to be related. And so in several of the stories, I was looking at that relationship, the intensity of having that sort of intellectual, emotional, and biological connection to someone.
The book's called Difficult Women, but in an essay you wrote in 2010, you said, people describe you as strong, but you don't think of yourself as strong. Do you think the women you talked about in this book are strong?
Yes, some of them are. I think that strong can mean a lot of things. And the reason I often shy away from the label of strong is because I'm also weak in certain places, in certain ways. And I think it's important to acknowledge that there's nothing wrong with being vulnerable and human. And all too often, especially as a Black woman, we're expected to be just incredibly strong and all-knowing and willing to tolerate all manner of things. I mean, I think all of the women are strong in one way or another, but they're also human. And it's important to recognize that.
You mentioned that in a lot of your intellectual work, you explore the lives of women. You're incredibly prolific. I decided I was going to read everything that you'd ever written last year, and I don't even think I'm close to being done. I don't even think I'm halfway there, frankly. Mm-hmm. And you have, as far as I know, two books coming out next year. One of them you decided to pull from your publisher, Simon & Schuster, after they made a book deal with Milo Yiannopoulos. Mm-hmm. Were you surprised that your decision to do that became such a big story?
Yeah, I was. Absolutely. Yeah, that book doesn't come out this year. That was always going to come out next year. I was very surprised because, you know, who am I? Why would anyone care? And it was a small book, so I did not expect that it was going to be significant. And I didn't do it for attention. I did it for myself and for my conscience and to make a stand and to say, you know, I believe in the freedom of speech and I fight for everyone's freedom of speech, but this is not the freedom of speech. This is enabling and normalizing hate, or at least hateful rhetoric. That's why I made the decision, and I'm very happy with it.
And for people who aren't aware of who Milo Yiannopoulos is, he has called himself the most fabulous supervillain on the internet. He has trolled so many people on Twitter. He was banned. He was a champion of white nationalism. He wrote for the alt-right website Breitbart. And after he left that job, after he lost his book contract with your former publisher, Simon & Schuster, after he lost a high-profile conservative speaking gig, this guy named Mike on Twitter sarcastically congratulated you for defeating free speech. And you made a point of responding to him. You swore at him. You were like, read the Constitution. This is not a free speech thing. Do you make a point of responding to everybody who comes after you on Twitter like that?
No, of course not. There's not enough hours in the day for that. I just respond when I feel moved to do it. Sometimes it's because I'm in a bad mood and I want to vent and take it out on some random internet stranger. But they always ask for it. They always ask for it. They come and they bring nonsense to my Twitter feed, and I respond accordingly.
Is Twitter still a worthwhile place for you?
Yes and no. I very much enjoy Twitter, particularly because I'm shy and I live in the middle of nowhere. So it's a great way of being connected while also being alone. But increasingly, it's so toxic that it's hard to believe that it's worthwhile. I've always said I'm never going to leave Twitter, but, you know, never say never. It's just getting so unpleasant. The internet in general, which has always been a lovely place for me, just a fun place to engage with other people and writers I admire and friends and acquaintances. And there's so much toxicity and hatred being disseminated online that sometimes I just don't go online. And I mean, it's, of course, that's normal. But I find that it's happening more and more.
I read the interview you got to do with Madonna in Harper's Bazaar in January. And you got to talk to her about the presidential election, what she's done since Donald Trump won the election. And you asked her this question that I wanted to ask you as well, because you really supported Hillary Clinton. You thought she was going to win the election. So what do you do now?
Well, you know, I think now we make sure that some of her ideas find their way into the public sphere. I think the work continues whether or not she's the president. And so that means making sure that we're protecting those who are made ever more vulnerable by Donald Trump, and I think protesting where needed and running for office if you're so inclined and feel like you can contribute to political life. I think we just keep fighting. We keep doing what we would have had to do even if she was elected, because I thought she was a great candidate, but she was not perfect. And there were a lot of things that we were going to have to hold her feet to the fire on. And so, you know, we just have a president who we have to hold his feet to the fire on everything. And that's overwhelming. But we can do it.
What have you seen that tells you we can do this?
Oh, I was really, really moved by the number of people who protested in so many places in the wake of the Muslim ban. I was just so just impressed with people, because I just didn't anticipate that. And I was pleasantly surprised. And so I think that we're not willing to sit quietly in the face of injustice, and that it's encouraging.
Roxane Gay's most recent book is a short story collection called Difficult Women. She talked with KUOW's Jeannie Yandel.